Our scripture reading this found this morning is found in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, and I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God richly bless the reading of his word this morning. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to this morning, we're going to hear some words that may be tough to live by, but are words that need to be encouraged in our own lives as the body of Christ. So Lord, this morning, as Krista mentioned, may you soften our hearts like a potato. And may you take away any hardness that might be there, like the egg has. And may you allow us to listen to you this morning. And through the Holy Spirit, the words that will come forth. Oh Lord, would you use me this morning as your servant to bring this message of truth and hope. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. We're now in Romans chapter 12. We have been moving for many months through the book of Romans. And now I believe Paul is getting into what we say the nitty-gritty of living the Christian life. Someone's told me there is 30 commands that Paul gives. And so I figured if I kept 5 minutes to each one, we'd be here for a little bit, but we're not going to be here that long. What Paul is doing, he says, I've told you about grace and love. I told you it's not about the law. It's about accepting Christ. It's about living in a relationship with him. But you also have to live in a relationship with other people. And he begins, I believe, in the first 13, from verses 9 to 13, he's talking about loving the Christian family. Loving the Christian. We're a family. Did you know that? We're a Christian family. I know that Sarah has shared with me and other people how much this family, you, mean to her. And this is a family, whether you like it or not, right? We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And Paul knew that. And if you think about the church in Rome, it was a different type of church. In the church, you had a mixture of Jewish people. You had a mixture of the Gentiles that are coming to faith. You had a mixture of slaves that are also coming to faith. You have a mixture of all sorts of people, from economy to their economic structure in the world during that day, to their racial structure. And they're all coming together to be part of the body of Christ. So what Paul's going to say to us is that love is a verb. Love is a verb in the Christian church. It means it's an action. It's good to say all the words, but sometimes words are not enough. Words are not enough in the church. There has to be action to those words. It's great in the morning. We can greet each other. I love to greet people when they come in. I see other youths greeting people, and we're greeting with words. We're welcoming. We're encouraging people. Now Paul says, I want you to go a little bit further than that. And he begins in verse 9. He says, love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. This Christian love that we have is is what we'd say is our calling card. If we say we are Christians and we follow Christ, but there is no love shown there to each other, we might have to re-examine our lives. Remember the words? They will know we are Christians by our what? By our love. By our love for one another. The outside world, those that are not part of the Christian church or the Christian family of brothers and sisters, are looking and they're watching. How do they treat each other in the church? You know, it is a saying I heard, is, and this is a negative saying, I don't know if I should bring it up, but some people think the church is the only place where they shoot their wounded. Have you ever heard that saying? That's a horrible saying, that people would see the church and see how we treat each other, that they would even say that. So Paul says, love must be sincere, right? It means loving without hypocrisy, without being a hypocrite. It's love, listen to this, that is not fake. It's love without a mask. That word hypocrisy, that word hypocrite, was a word that they used to use in the time of theater back then. As they would act, and Alan, you would love this, they would put on different masks, right, of different facial expressions when they did their acting. And people couldn't see what was underneath, but what the mask was showing. And what Paul is saying here is that love must be sincere. We're not fake about our love. We take off our masks. Or another way is this, is sincere Christians don't wear a mask. What you see is what you get. Did you hear that? What you see, look at your pastor right here. What you see here is what you get. And you may think, what did we get into then? But all of us, that's how we should be around the church, around the Christian family, that we can be sincere with each other, not afraid what people will think about us, right? That people will accept us. This is who I am. If you don't like me, that's too bad. But you need to accept me because I'm your brother. I'm your sister. But along those words, Paul uses another word. He says, love must be sincere, but then he says, hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Hate that which is evil. So I'm telling you right now, hating can be a good thing. No, no, Pastor. Hating is always bad. No. Hating can be a good thing if you hate what is evil. Okay? If you hate that which is hypocrisy. Hate that which is not good, which leads you astray. Those are the things we need to hate, not be a part of. Love was sincere, but hate was evil. Cling to what is good in your life. As brothers and sisters in the church, what is good to us? Hopefully each other here in this church, we're good for each other. Paul says, cling to those things that are good. If you have a family, cling, and it's a healthy, strong family, cling to that which is good. Cling to God's word, which is good. Cling to other brothers and sisters in the Lord, that is good. Paul even goes a little bit further in his aspect of love in verse 10. He says, be devoted to one another in love. That word devoted is part of devotion. You know, we give it all to each other. but be devoted to one another in love. And then he also goes a little bit further. Honor one another, what? Above yourselves. In Philippians, we read that in chapter 2, it talks about looking out for the interests of what? Others. That was what Jesus' life was all about. He didn't look at his own life and walk around and say, you know, I'm going to be the Messiah. I am the Messiah, and I've come to die for you, and I'm going to rise again. Followers, follow me, you that are on the outside. This is who you should be looking at. No, Jesus loved, he accepted, he honored people. And we're told to do that in the church, honor one another above ourselves. That means don't go around and thinking, oh, I have it all together. Or have this cold standoff attitude. But love one another. And then Paul says in 11, verse 11, never be lacking in zeal. In this love, it should be a zealous type of love. Keep your spiritual fervor. Serve the Lord. If you say, boy, I want to serve the Lord, Pastor, what should I do? Is there a way I can get involved in the church? Can I do something? Is there an activity or event? How can I serve the Lord in the church? And you know what I would say to you? Love those that are called here in our church. Love one another with a deep love. Be devoted to each other. Don't lack in zeal. Serve the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope and patient in affliction. How many here are good at being patient in affliction? Anybody? I'm not. When there's things that are happening in my life that I feel are afflicting me, I'm not very patient. I'm always saying, keep it away from me, God. I don't want to be afflicted. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. And then he goes on, he makes it real practical. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. It begins here first. Did you hear that? It begins sharing with each other in the body of Christ first. And then it can move on from there. If you see a need in this church, you hear of a need, whether it be, you know, somebody that needs some financial help or something's going wrong in their building or they just need cooking, food. They need prayer. They need encouragement. Paul says, share with those who are in need. And he goes further. He says, practice hospitality. The Greek word for hospitality means this, love for strangers. Love for strangers. Love those you don't know. Love those that might be strange to you. So that's the church. That's Paul in verses 9 to 13. He's talking about how we live with each other in the church. We're all part of the body of Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we're always going to agree with each other, okay? Because even in families, we love our families, but do we always agree with our families? No. I have some major, not conflicts, but I have some major theological differences with my son. He's way over here with some issues, and I'm way over here. And in some issues, we've decided the two will never meet. But that's okay. We love each other. He's my son. I'm his dad. He loves me, even though he may think I'm totally wrong in some parts, but that's all right. Now, Paul is going to go on to those that are outside the church, outside of the Christian family. What does he say in verse 14? Bless, listen to this, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Wow. Now that's a heart. Bless those who don't think highly of you, who want not the best for you, who persecute you. Now the church would know all about that. The church in Rome would know what real persecution was all about. Because the Roman government, the people that didn't see, they saw this new beginning of this church family. They were trying to understand it. They didn't, you know, we practice this way. they practice something totally different. As I was mentioning in Sunday school, we're talking about the Lord's Supper. When the Lord's Supper began, you know, they began to break the bread and said, this is the body of Christ broken for you, and this is the blood shared for me. And people looking in the outside said, those Christians are all cannibals. They're actually eating Christ's body, and they're drinking his blood. They didn't understand. Paul says, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who don't understand you. Bless them. Do not curse them. Do not want what is evil for them or what is bad for them. That is a lot harder said than done, isn't it? That is a lot harder said than done. I don't know how many times, you know, on the ice rink, you know, I wasn't blessing people as they were pushing me in the boards. I was feeling like I was getting persecuted, really not. But then Paul says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. I'll say this. Sometimes it's easier to mourn with people than it is to rejoice with them. For example, you're at a job and you're working with somebody and they get the raise and you don't get the raise. And Paul says, rejoice with those who are rejoicing. And inside you're saying, I'm not rejoicing. I should have had that position, not them. But Paul says, rejoice, mourn with those. Consider other people's feelings. Consider what they feel, not always what we feel. Live in harmony with one another. Again, that's a hard one. That means have a humble mindset. Live in harmony. Humble yourselves. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Growing up in the church that I grew up in, my mother had this attitude that we just weren't good enough for sometimes the people in the church. We lived in a mobile home. I grew up in a mobile home. It was a three-bedroom mobile home. I shared a bedroom. At one time, it was a bed with my brother in a room that was 8 feet by. It was small. I'll just put it that way. And then we got bunk beds, which was a lot better. And my mother was always afraid that people maybe looked down on us because of how we lived. We lived in a mobile home, and they, you know, I remember after leaving church, sometimes my mom would say, oh, that's where so-and-so lives. Ed, what a beautiful house they have. Where do we live? I mean, she was always thinking this, people had this feeling. We were being looked down. I don't think we were. Paul says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. We're no better than anybody else here in the church, in the body of Christ. Do not repay evil for evil. Isn't that such an... Sometimes that's the first thing that comes to our mind, isn't it? Somebody has done wrong to me. How can I do wrong back to them? Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And then I love this. Paul says, if it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I love that. Paul says, as far as it depends on you. So you do your job. You try to live at peace with your neighbor, with a certain person that maybe you can't stand sometimes, but you try to live at peace with them, and you leave it up to them how they respond to that. You've done your job at living at peace with them. And then Paul goes even a lot further in verse 19. He says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room, what? For God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. What Paul says is, leave room for God's wrath. Let God judge. If God's going to have wrath, he'll have wrath on who wants to. But let God be the ultimate judge. It's not our job to be the judge for people's lives and how they live their lives. It's not our job to avenge or repay. And what I think what Paul is saying to the church in Rome, they're facing this great persecution in the church. because of what they believe from the Roman government, from the pagans of that society. They're facing major persecution. And then maybe the first thing that's going through their mind is, I'm going to take revenge. I can only take so much of this. And Paul says, leave it up to God. God knows what you're going through. He knows how people are treating you. Leave it up to me. But instead, he says, if your enemy is hungry, what do? We feed him. If he's thirsty, we give him something to drink. Wow, listen to that. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give them something to drink. Not the first thing you think of, right? When your enemy is down, is that you want to feed him, you want to take care of him, you want to give him to something to drink. Paul says, in doing so, you will what? You will heap burning coals on his head. Burning coals. What meaning that in return, they might have a conviction on their lives of how they're living their lives. Because here they are mistreating you, and you're feeding them, and you're giving them something to drink. And they may feel this and say, I feel convicted of how I'm treating so-and-so. I need to do better. So our challenge as the body of Christ is this. That love would become a verb. That we would put it into action. That anybody that walks through the doors of this church would feel like they're loved, no matter what. No matter what they believe, their lifestyle, who they are, that they can feel loved and accepted. And that begins with the church family. Meaning, maybe you are here this morning and maybe there is somebody in the church who said, I don't like when they come up to me or talk to me. I can't stand them. I wish they would stay away. Maybe we need to examine our lives and say, maybe I can't be best friends with them, but I can love them and I can accept them. And then secondly, Paul's given us the challenge, how are we loving outside the church family? Are we loving those who persecute us? Are we loving our enemies? Are we leaving the judgment in God's hands? Not us, but leaving it up to God to do his work. And you know what I believe is that we worship a righteous God. That means that God knows what is right and all-knowing and what is best. And what better hands to leave issues into, right? We try to take it into our own hands. We who are sometimes sinful people who just think about ourselves and can be selfish, instead of saying, God, I leave it in your hands. Soften my hearts. Let me become that potato today and not that egg where I'm hard towards people. But soften me so that I can love people, even when it's hard to love people. And I have to say that I have to take these verses. You know, I'm preaching from Romans. And the first thing I do is when I preach this or look into it during the week, I take some time to examine my own life. Who is it that I feel like I'm at odds with? And how do I need to soften? And I need to soften. I'm at odds with my ex-wife right now, I'll be honest. And I need to soften my heart. She's not my enemy. She's not persecuting me. I need to soften. And all of us maybe need to examine our own lives, right? Who are those people we need to soften and we need to love? Because, you know, love will go a long way, won't it? Right? We can say the words, I love you. But when you put those words into action, you come alongside somebody and you give them a big hug. You encourage them with words of encouragement. You pop by their house with a meal when they need something. You love them no matter what their actions are, even if they've hurt you. You try to show love. Don't always accept the action, right? but we show love in return. Oh, that we as a church would be that way. That the first thing people would say is, we know them by their love. What a loving church. What an accepting church that is. And it's hard, because none of us are perfect, right? We're not going to do it perfect every time. But may that be what we do. May that be our goal in our lives, as Paul has instructed us. Let us pray. Lord, help us to love each other. Help us to accept each other, Lord, where we come from, no matter in life. Lord, in the church body here at First Congregational, thank you for the love that I've felt in this body. May we continue to show that love to each other and to those that walk inside the doors of our church, that we would be known as a loving church that accepts and shows grace to people, especially in the body of Christ. And even our enemies, those that we would maybe call our enemies, those who don't like us or, in a sense, we think persecute us, Lord, oh, soften our hearts. Make us tender, Lord, that we may show back what Christian love is all about. Thank you for our Savior Jesus, who, while we were still sinners, died for us. He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He said, I'll die for you, Mark, even though you're still messed up. I'll die for you. I'll give my life for you because I love you. Oh, Lord, thank you for that type of love that has been shown to us. May we, in return, go forth and show that type of love to others. We pray all this in our Savior's name. Amen. May you go this morning having love that is sincere, hating what is evil and clinging to what is good. May you go this morning devoted to one another in love and honoring each other, never lacking in zeal, but serving the Lord. Oh, go, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Oh, go, serving the Lord's people, and go in peace. Amen.